Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports, thanks for being with us. Crazy Ted Cruz last night. Man, there's nothing going on in sports. Diamondbacks got drilled yesterday. Crazy Ted Cruz. I've not talked on the political front because we do sports here every day, but all of us have our political leanings, our political bents. And it's been very entertaining over the last, there you go, guys, that's good, over the last couple nights to see the flat out, I don't know, disarray of the Republican Party when one night you have a speech that stuff was lifted, which I don't think is really that big of a deal. But the fact that Trump couldn't knock the story down to me, if we think about this, Donald Trump's always had this ability to knock down stories. And he couldn't knock down the story of his wife and some stuff lifted in a speech, which, again, to me was not a big deal. Speech writers are out there. There's the same speech writers, whatever. That's not going to make me decide one way or the other. So then you have Crazy Ted Cruz last night. He gets booed off the stage. And then he's like trying to set it up that when he's going to run for president, you know, down the road, he's going to circle back on this whole thing. So Crazy Ted Cruz last night gets booed off the stage. Trump stands up. It's like this whole freaking reality show. And so I was highly amused by that last night. I was not amused at all with the baseball team. Man, are they bad. Oh, what a just absolute train wreck is going on here on the field. Patrick Corbin. Okay, so Patrick Corbin is somebody that was supposed to have a very good season. Eric, if we were to think back at the start of the year and we were going through the Diamondbacks, remember back in spring training, you and I, hope springs eternal. You know, they've got Greinke and Corbin's going to be able to pitch well for them. And they've got Shelby Miller here. And we were just fools. We were so wrong.
Five and nine. Patrick Corbin, 5-9 with an ERA of almost 6.
It was batting practice yesterday. Like, you want to give fans in left field helmets because there's missiles being launched at them.
Well, and defensively, it was not one of the Diamondbacks' finer efforts.
They haven't had good. So. They had two errors on Tuesday night. Yep. They're just, I don't know if they've quit on Chip. I don't know that. Pedro said that when he talked to Goldschmidt at the All-Star game, that Goldie said, no, we really believe in Chip. I don't know if that's just lip service.
It's sad. It's the end of July, and we're pretty much already just in extended spring training for the next couple of months.
Yeah. So it's.
There are 17 games behind the Giants.
They're 17, and they were lifeless and listless against Toronto. And, you know, people, oh, they're our hometown team. We should support them. No.
The good news is, though, hey, they're going out on the road, and they have a winning road record. So maybe they can finish off the month playing above 500 baseball away from Chase Field, which has been the weird trend in a season of unpredictability at this point.
Zach Greinke got a little grumpy yesterday from what I heard. We were not there yesterday at the game, but I had heard and saw on Twitter where he kind of snapped about how he's coming along in his recovery. So, you know, when you're being paid a lot of money, like, I don't know, $200 million, you're going to get asked questions about how you're coming along.
And he's not used to, number one, being hurt, and number two, going through a season. I mean, one of the reasons why he came here is he thought the Patrick Corbins and the rest of the rotation would support him. And so far, outside of Zach Greinke, everyone else has been marginal to average at best.
Well, he also has not been approached when he's on the disabled list. About his health. That's fair. It is fair that, oh, I don't know, if you're being paid $200 million, that you're going to be asked about your health. You're going to be asked about it. And so far, the organization has only had Greinke available on days after he finishes pitching. So I thought it was interesting yesterday that he did talk, but he kind of shut some people down there from the quotes I read. Again, I was not there, but he did not want to discuss his oblique. And that's why he's not out on the field. So there's this bit of video yesterday from Bryce Harper where he hit a baseball a long, long, long ways. Now, we've seen baseballs hit a long, long ways. Bryce Harper has not had a great season, if we're to be honest about it. So here's the clip yesterday of Bryce Harper.
Harper to right. See you later. Way up there. 2-0. And that's number 20 for Bryce.
Look at this thing. Oh, my goodness. I feel like I'm 12 years old right now looking at this. Where does it land? That's 451, but do you understand it's coming down somewhere that the third deck stopped it? That's way over 500 feet. Sorry. I mean, I've seen a lot of Bryce's home runs, like all of them, and I don't remember one going that far.
I like where the right fielder just has his hands on his hips, and he doesn't even turn to look. He doesn't even move. I like that. Just boom. Okay, next batter.
So you're taking the Cessmatt family to a game, okay?
Yeah.
And
it's a lot of seats with the Cessmatt family, by the way.
And for some reason, you're like, let's sit in those old dollar seats. Remember that?
Sure.
Way out in the upper corner of the outfield.
Who says we don't
right
do that
field.
Now? We've got a startup. Come
and
on.
And you're 7 rows from the top of the stadium.
Yeah.
Do you really think you have a chance to gain a home run ball? Like 1% chance? Like ESPN showed those people. They didn't even have to get out of their seats. They're just sitting there. And the ball, like 900 feet away from them, just comes right into their lap. Bryce Harper, you're ridiculous. And I know. He hasn't had the greatest of seasons. But, I mean, when he flashes, that guy definitely flashes.
Well, do you remember when Joe Maddon walked him 13 times in a series?
I do.
It feels as though, to me, and that was earlier in the season, it feels as though that Joe Maddon got into his head. That since then, if you're to look at his numbers, I think I read a few weeks back in the Washington Post, it was like 230 that he's hitting since then. And he's a great player. I'm not saying I wouldn't take him on my team, but he's not had the greatest of seasons ever since then. We have the president of the Suns coming in today. What is this all about? Are they here to scold me for telling it like it is the last 6 years that they stink? What are you doing here?
Well, the Suns are playing a couple games in Mexico.
Okay.
And the Suns have had an interesting and, I think, pretty positive offseason.
Okay.
And so we're going to talk some Suns.
So am I supposed to just pretend that I haven't sat here behind a microphone for the last 6 years and said this is unacceptable?
Do you think you're the only one that's done that?
I don't.
Okay.
But I do it every day. I do think I'm one of the few.
Sometimes when you're talking to me, you're really just sort of talking to yourself, and I'm just sort of your brain. I'm sort of your brain answering your question.
Sure. You're the balancing.
You're kind of talking. You're not really talking at me. You're
I'll
talking
talk down
at me
to you from on high.
You're talking.
Here's how it is.
You're talking at me, but you're not talking to me.
I know. No, Jason Rowley's coming in. We'll have fun, but you know, let's be honest. When I sit here behind a microphone and say this is unacceptable to have this lack of quality of basketball that it's been, and they haven't been to the playoffs since 2010, I think they've had a fine summer. But it's summer. It's like, here's what I could take away from summer league. Devin Booker was a man among boys. That's it. I'm not going to take anything away from what Chris did in summer league. It's against guys that aren't going to be in starting lineups for the NBA. I'm not going to take much away from what Bender did. It was fine. You could see that they were better than the guys that they were going against, but get back to me when they're playing against the Warriors. Get back to me when they're playing against the Thunder. And what will it look like, I don't know, in 3, 4, 5, 6 years? This is all speculative. It's like buying a penny stock. That's what the Suns have done here. They bought a penny stock in a couple of these players. Now, Devin Booker, there's no question they've hit on that penny stock. No question in my mind. But I'm not going to sit here after a couple of games in Las Vegas and say, oh my gosh, everything's fixed. It's not happening. Their schedule, we got to talk to them about their stadium too. I know Robert's not here, but see if Jason's got anything on the arena, because that's something that that people like to talk about. Goody at the movies today. Star Trek comes out tomorrow. My wife last night, like, just grabbed hold of the TV because one of the Star Treks was on, and I'm not a Trekkie, and she wouldn't let go, so I had to go into the other room. She was watching it. And Bill did talk to J.J. Abrams. He hit on that briefly last week, but he's got Star Trek, Lights Out, and Cafe Society that he wants to talk about today. I'm only going to talk to him about Bourne because I have a Bourne screening next Tuesday. Bourne is coming. And so I'm more excited about that than probably even Star Trek. So we have that going on as well. There's some news today about Michigan in college football. And just the thought that they are favored over Alabama in one area in the coming college football season. That's right. The Wolverines are favored. I'll tell you about that on the other side. And also the NFL and a doctor being investigated, forced into retirement from the concussion side. Stunning. Shocking. It's like the sixth doctor that's been affiliated with the NFL and their concussion. The concussion thing will go down as one of the biggest scams, I think, off the top of how the NFL tried to sweep it all under the rug. I mean, really do. And the concussion movie was great. It was great. Too bad it was released same weekend as Star Wars. I wonder how that happened. No pressure from the NFL on the movie industry, right? That would never happen. We'll talk some college and pro football next. I'm Brad Sussmann. So next week, things really start to ramp up. If you've been watching the last few weeks, it's summer. We have fun. We do our thing. But there's not been anything that's really caught my eye here that's off the charts. Maybe Aaron Rodgers' brother on The Bachelorette. That's about it. And Eric loved that story. You want me to do more Bachelorette today? Would that make you happy? Not even going to respond on that one, huh? Yeah, you're just going to leave me alone on that one? That's nice. That's the boycott. Okay, so let's get into this then on the college football end. Michigan is the Vegas betting line favorite in terms of dollars spent by fans to win the national title this year. Now, that must mean there's a lot of bandwagon fans that are out there because Westgate's Superbook has them at 7-1, but there's been more money bet on Michigan to win the championship than any other team. The number two team in Vegas that money has been bet on is LSU. And those people have got to be drinking, have got to be nipping on the cookie. Am I right on that one?
I can't see Michigan contending for a national championship until they convince me they can beat Ohio State, which they haven't done in a number of years. And I know Ohio State is expected to be down this season, but I never put anything past Urban Meyer.
But so. Coach Kaki, Coach Harbaugh.
Yeah, he's doing rap videos. Doing the satellite camps and stirring the pot. They're going to be very good. Don't give me. I think Michigan is definitely a top 15, top 12 team. Do I think they're a top 5 or top 3 or 2 team? No.
Okay, let me ask you this. There's an Alabama game on and there's a Michigan game on at the exact same time. Who are you watching?
Neither.
Shut up. Get out of here. You're a college football fan.
I don't.
Neither's not an answer.
Neither. I don't support the Big Ten and the SEC.
Really? You don't support?
I don't.
What are you talking about?
I
don't support. What are you, Ted Cruz?
I was born and raised in the Southwest.
Trump. People who are
born and raised in the Southwest don't support Big Ten athletics. Come on. You know better than that.
It's Harbaugh, though.
This is Pac-12 country.
Isn't watching Harbaugh more polarizing than Saban?
Sure.
Okay, so if there's two
But
games
are we
on,
watching coaches or are we watching games?
If you're watching
Have
Michigan,
you watched the Big Ten recently?
It's unwatchable.
Thank you. I got you.
No, you're right. You're right. But remember last year Michigan opened with Utah and I was all geeked up about that?
I'll watch Alabama, but I might flip over to the Michigan postgame press conference if they lose by one or win
true.
By one.
But don't you want to see the handshake or the stuff that happens after the handshake?
I just shook his hand too hard.
Of course he
Man.
Did.
So good.
So you don't like him or you do like him?
Oh, I love Harbaugh. I love it. And I'm happy that Michigan is trending up because college football is better when the power schools, the traditional schools do well.
See, I think whoever, if the TV networks are really smart on this, that somebody should be able to get to Saban and somebody should be able to get to Harbaugh and say Michigan, Alabama to open the season somewhere. Or we got to make sure those two meet in the national title game. Like last year's title game did not get the biggest numbers, and the New Year's Eve games were horrendous in terms of the TV ratings. They were just awful, god awful. But the teams that were involved, Clemson was not a national brand. It's not. I don't care who's going to tell me how great Deshaun Watson is. He's great. They're not a national brand.
I got an idea.
Yeah.
So Alabama's playing USC at Jerry World.
Yep.
Okay.
They
start
are.
Season. How about those two teams playing in Glendale? Alabama's been out here before. Harbaugh loves to recruit in Arizona.
Yeah.
It would truly be a neutral site game.
Who's going to pay for it? Sports 360.
That's not my problem. We're playing in a fantasy college football scheduling world.
But this is not fantasy in this way. It would be great for college football to have Alabama play Michigan.
Get a title sponsor for it. Every big game has a title sponsor for it.
I understand that.
Notre Dame plays like in all these neutral site venues every year.
No, that's true. But like Alabama's playing SC, and Nick is going to play his left tackle who got in big trouble in the offseason, and he's been getting asked about it, and he's been getting surly about it. He got into it with Feinbaum about it. I hope USC, for the Pac-12, I hope USC just doesn't get embarrassed in that game. And, like, if you're a big Pac-12 guy, this is not, in my view, you were out at Media Day. In my view, this is not a great year in Pac-12 football as we get ready to start. Doesn't mean I'm not interested. Don't get me wrong here. But if Alabama just crushes USC to start out the season, and when USC plays Notre Dame, okay, and when Stanford plays Notre Dame, and if those non-conference games don't go as planned, right, then we're going to sit here and look at the Pac-12 and say, can you guys ever get it figured out?
My takeaway from last week in Hollywood at Pac-12 Media Day is there aren't going to be any really bad teams in the Pac-12. Even Colorado, I think, is going to win a game or two more in conference than they have in the past. Mm-hmm. But I agree with you. There is not an elite Pac-12. We are going to carry the torch for the conference team this fall.
Well, like everybody's talking about Washington this year, right? Okay. So Washington plays Rutgers as their big non-conference game.
There's nothing big about playing Rutgers in non-conference.
There's nothing big about it. But if you end up losing that game, is my point, you know, Washington State, which has gotten some love, they have Boise State. That's a pretty interesting early season non-conference game.
Yeah, I definitely watch that.
You would or would not?
Oh, I definitely would. I mean, the game's going to take 7.5 hours because Washington State's going to throw the ball with Luke Falk about 400 times, but... You know, they're improved. I mean, Washington State is a legitimate threat in the Pac-12 this season. They're going to have a good year.
But like USC we mentioned earlier, UCLA opens with Texas A&M, okay? Much like ASU did last year. And UCLA also goes to BYU.
Those are measuring stick games for the Pac-12.
Two of the first, absolutely. If U of A lays an egg at home, like the night of the U of A BYU game in Glendale, ASU's playing NAU an hour earlier. Where are you going? Going to Glendale or are you going to Sun Devil?
I think I'm out of town that weekend, so you guys have to
get out of here. Get out. Are you already starting to take days off?
Yeah.
You're doing that?
It's that time of year.
How many vacation days do you have left? Lots? I know. All right. The NFL. So I want to get into this a little bit about there's news around the National Football League and their concussion doctor again. So they've had these concussion doctors that have come and gone, and they have removed another one. This time, it was Roger Goodell that stepped to the podium and said that we've removed a doctor. The NFL is trying to be proactive on this whole concussion thing. I've made a big deal out of concussions since we started this because back in 11 and 12, I was seeing guys that were jacked up, walking in, not really sure of who they were, where they were in life, struggling with anger issues, blowing up marriages. I'm not going to drop names, but you've seen some of them on here. Trying to find a purpose because concussions took it away from them. The NFL, of course, was, it's really not that big of a deal. The NFL removal this week of a doctor who oversaw the league's now discredited concussion policies comes as another top NFL health advisor is being investigated for allegations he tried to influence a major government study on football and brain disease. So the University of Washington has decided to jump into this concussion fray. They've decided we want to investigate this further. A May congressional report identified Dr. Richard Ellenbogen, co-chair of the NFL's Head, Neck, and Spine Committee, as one of the NFL's primary advocates in its unsuccessful campaign to strip a $16 million grant from a Boston University researcher who has criticized the NFL. Wait a minute. The NFL's coming after people that criticize it? Shocking. Stunning. Especially when it comes to concussions. This other doctor, Dr. Elliot Pellman, the league's longtime controversial medical advisor, who was among at least six top NFL health officials who prevented the National Institute of Health report, was blown out by Roger Goodell. No longer here. Shocking. Stunning. So maybe it's Goodell. Maybe it's Goodell saying, hey, we've got some things that aren't right here. Or maybe it's people investigating and going a little deeper saying, these guys with concussions, there's nothing being done really about it. Yeah, the game's going to get great ratings this year, but at the risk of these guys being out on the field. And it's not going to go away. One other story in this segment, and I should have done more on concussions, but I got on a rant. Eric said, I got to check out this piece of video that you found today involving Utah Valley University.
Yep. Valley, WAC member.
WAC member. So we are all about bringing good health to you. That's why I make a big deal out of concussions. Check this bit of video out of what they're doing at Utah Valley University. Now, this is the walking, running, and texting lanes.
That's correct.
On campus.
That's correct.
So in between the rooms to classes, you can either walk, you can run, or you can text.
Somebody's smart.
But they should have a fourth lane there that says Pokemon Go. What are you talking about? Of course they should. You're looking at your phone, trying to flip it. I could do that right now.
And if you're texting up a stair, if you're looking down at your phone and you're texting, walking up a stairwell, you're probably going to lean into the run area a little bit.
Yeah.
So you could get trampled even with everything the way it is. It's a good idea. It's a good concept. I get it. But again, like
walk,
it's not. It's,
run.
There's no perfect solution to this. If you see people texting and walking.
And text.
That's right.
That's nice. All right. I like that. Jason Rowley is next, Suns president, in studio. They're going to play in Mexico in January. They've done some good things here in the offseason. We'll have the president of the Suns next. And Goody at the Movies on Star Trek. Looking forward to that as we continue on. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmatt. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. Welcome back. Goody at the Movies in about 10 minutes. Jason Rowley has made his way over. Suns president. We were just visiting off the air and about my background around the team and yours as well and how I've been really frustrated and disappointed. Whenever I had Paul Coro on, he said, yeah, but Brad, at least you care. And because it's not been good. And I think that things are getting better. And I'm sure you would nod your head in agreement that it's been tough. It's been a challenge, all those catchphrases. But I really feel like, Jason, things have started to turn the corner and stabilize. What are you seeing?
Yeah, I would agree with that. No question about it for the last. There's an expectation in the Valley that the Suns, as an organization, as a team, project a winning atmosphere, have the results on the court, obviously have the results off the court as well in terms of the things we do in the community. But when you look at what has happened, I'd say over the last 6 months in particular, with the draft, with some of the things that happened towards the end of the season with Earl Watson coming on board, who brings a different style of leadership than we've had in the past in terms of in the locker room, his ability to relate to players. I would agree with you. I feel like we're in a position right now where the foundation has really been set. You can call it a youth movement, which I think certainly isn't inaccurate when you just simply look at the age of most of the players on our roster. And you look at individuals like Devin Booker, obviously, immediately comes to mind. But even Eric Bledsoe still is only 26 years old and starting to demonstrate, you know, a level of leadership that he hasn't quite in the past. And so mm-hmm. when you see all those pieces coming together, backstopped with a couple of very very energetic and exciting draft picks. I think that the foundation is laid for some success going forward.
It's been 6 years since the team's been in the playoffs. Right. I mean, it's been long and dry and frustrating. You look back on it, what have you guys learned from these dark days?
You know, I think that part of it is maybe being patient, maybe being in a position where when you've had some success like three seasons ago where the team came out and
came
won 48
close.
Games
yep.
and came you know historically close but then not making it, which is not necessarily a great claim to fame to be have the highest winning percentage to not make the playoffs in history. You know, those things in sports you just kind of have to live with and deal with, but also, as you said, learn from. And I think the prospect of being patient and looking towards what we're doing now really focusing on the process now and building now. Yes, the ultimate goal is playoffs, and the ultimate goal is a championship, and the ultimate goal is sustained success. But you can't really get there unless you're really focusing on the here and now and really dialing into what you're trying to accomplish. And I think when you see what Earl has been able to institute in the locker room and with the help of some of these players, you know, again, Eric doing some of the things he's done in the off season to really pull the team together. Yeah, they're all individual players, and everybody recognizes it's a stars league, but at the same time, the teams that ultimately win are the ones who are able to act as a team. Mm-hmm. Basketball is very much that way. You can have a star on your team, but if your team isn't playing as a team, you know, you're not going to have the kind of success you want to have. So seeing these guys buy into that concept of teamwork at a young age, I think, is really important. And having some guys that, you know, that have come back, who were here when the team had success, I think will help teach these young guys how to develop and approach the game in that type of a mindset.
It's been difficult for someone like myself. I came here as the pre and post for the Suns.
Right.
So I was the conduit to the fan. And my approach is, when it's bad, say it's bad. When it stinks, it stinks. When it's great, it's great. Let's have some fun with it. And I think in the last 6 years, there have been times where I felt like it's been tuned out in terms of what's going on down here. And to your credit, okay, I'm sure there's been dark days where you're driving home like, you got to be kidding me. How are we going to get through this? When you subtract people, players that don't want to be here, and now you do have some guys that are here, and you've brought in some friendly faces and some familiar faces. I don't know how much Leandro has left. I think he has plenty left,
right?
But I don't know that for sure. I think Jared Dudley is a terrific glue guy, a terrific glue guy. How can you not like that acquisition? But his days are numbered on the court. Bledsoe, we'll see. He's had knee surgeries. I mean, he's had a bunch of knee surgeries. But I think a young player goes through those. There's no question Devin Booker you've hit on. I think the two kids you've drafted are penny stock guys. I think you're going to hit on one or both, hopefully on both of them. But I don't know through summer league if I can make a blanket statement that they're great. My point is, I think you're right. You're moving in a good direction, finally. And there's so many positive things to latch on to. And that leads over to taking a couple games out of Phoenix and going down to Mexico City. Talk to the fans about that strategy. I was at a lunch yesterday where a guy said, love Earl Watson. This is a big, big business guy with an insurance company in town. Brad, I love Earl Watson. Why are they moving two games? And this is a season ticket holder, too. What's the idea there?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of layers to it. Like anything else, nothing is just you know, one answer. First and foremost, the league itself is looking to, and has been for many years, looking to go global. Yeah. And you know, look at the number of players in the league who come from overseas. The percentages, I think right now it's somewhere between a quarter and a third of all players are internationally sourced. So that in and of itself is a driver. But you look at the Arizona market, the Phoenix market, and our geographic location. Obviously, some of these things are candidly very self-evident.
Yep.
The fact that that almost 40% of the population base in Arizona is Hispanic, but really, when you're speaking to the Hispanic community in Arizona, you're really talking about the Mexican American community and Mexican nationals who are either here working or who travel up here. Mexico is our number one trade partner as a state. So there's financial implications, but
economic,
even more importantly,
side, sure.
The economic, but there's cultural implications as well. Yeah. The Southwestern culture is very steeped in the Mexican culture as well. And so for us, we're a community asset, but if you're not reflecting the entire community, then you're not really living up to that mantra of being a community asset. And so as the league has looked to be more global, and looked for the teams to partner on that, it became very apparent to us that, look, it's one thing to fly into a city, whether you're flying into a city in China or Italy or wherever, and play a game and get on your plane at 11 o'clock at night after the game and fly back out. It's a whole different prospect to go into a market on, you know, say, January 10th and be in market until January 15th, have two games in between, have practices in between, have the ability from now until January to really project your brand and really promote these games in the way that they should be promoted, to involve folks from the governor's office and the mayor's office and business leaders and community and civic leaders. and pull all those resources together to really have a more meaningful impact in that market, in the Mexico City market, and in the Mexico market in general, but also make sure that we're communicating how important it is to us in this market, because obviously there is so much transference between individuals who spend time down in Mexico and also spend time here, families that have individuals in both locations.
Yep.
It, for all those reasons, it just makes sense to do.
Jason Rally is with us, Suns president. Before I let you go, so been in a couple speaking engagements in the last month, and it's primarily businessmen, and the first question I get asked is, do you think they're turning the corner? And I said, remains to be seen, but I like the direction that they're heading, some of the moves they've made. Second biggest question is Earl Watson. Mm-hmm. I do think you've hit on, and this isn't anything towards Jeff, because Jeff was wildly popular. Didn't work out. He moved on. Great guy.
Best
of luck in New York. No hard feelings. But I do think you've hit on something with Earl, with fans. So what is it about him that you've heard on your end? Because you're talking to those hardcore fans.
Right.
I'm talking to people that are on the periphery that are interested in him. What is it about Earl from your view?
When you engage with, I don't know if you've met him directly or spent any time with him. When you engage with Earl directly, there is a directness, there's an honesty, there is a level of conviction in his beliefs.
Coach Wooden-esque. Very much so.
And you can, he's been surrounded by excellent coaches his entire career, but at a certain point, any leader has to take all the things they've learned and then essentially harness that and convert it to what works for them, and then lead their troops. And what I've seen out of Earl so far is that he's been able to tap into all those resources, but at a very young age as a coach, in terms of his coaching career, convert that into his own philosophy. And an individual who can do that and get the buy-in of these younger players, and even get the buy-in of the veterans who they can, because they've been around, can kind of see the direction he's heading and relate to him as well, because he was just playing a couple of years ago.
Right.
That's something that you can't manufacture. Somebody just either has it or they don't. And I think the interactions I've had with him, I've had many, have been very instructive to see that he is that kind of a person. And I think when the hardcore fans get in front of him, whether it's in a very small setting or a larger setting, that there's a consistency there. He's the same person one-on-one as he is in a group of 200 or 300 people. And that shines through, and people connect with that. They relate to that. And so that's one of the reasons I feel like, much like a Devin Booker who we've hit on, I feel like we've hit on it with Earl Watson as well.
And he's one of those that when there's 7 seconds left, down one with the ball, what's it going to look like? That's where I'm at.
Right.
So, because I think you definitely have hit on the person. The coaching is just going to come through experience. He hasn't even had 100 games under his belt yet, not even 50 games or close to 50 games. So I think that's what remains to be seen. But it seems to me that you've got some things that are targeting in the right direction. And I'm glad you're able to come in. Anything else you want to add? I didn't ask you about your team, your franchise.
No, absolutely. And I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to come out here. I do think what I'd like people to do is, as they're looking at the team now, you certainly want to be excited about the future and keep your eyes on the big goals, the playoffs, championships, going deep. Those are all important. But it's also important, I think, to really grow with the process and focus on the process today and what we're accomplishing, and get excited about that. Yes, sports are ultimately all about winning, but there's a lot to be excited about looking at these young guys and being able to watch what they can do today and then seeing what that looks like a year from now and what it looks like 2 years from now. I'm very excited to be part of that.
Preaching patience.
Right.
I think that's fair. I think that's very fair with the way that this core is being built. Thanks for coming in.
Sure, absolutely.
Good catching up with you, Jason.
You got it.
Jason Rally with us. On the other side, Goody at the Movies, Bill Goodykun, chief film critic for AZ Central and Gannett. Star Trek comes out tonight. You know what's going on in sports. Now you got to have a life, right, guys? That's next with Goody at the Movies. Stay with us. Thanks again to Jason Rally, president of the Suns, coming on in here. Goody just texted Eric. So is he being difficult? Is that the thing? Is that the thumb I'm getting up here? Yeah. No, Goody at the Movies will join us here in a minute. A week from today, the Cardinals open training camp. So I know that you guys have been watching the show for a while, know that it's dead of summer shows. And we have fun here and we bring some guests in and do our thing every day. But everyone in the Valley that I've talked to is waiting for football season. They're not waiting for the Cardinals season. They're waiting for football season. I'm starting to get the invites for the fantasy football draft parties. Guys are starting to get their fantasy stuff together. Next week, Michael is so busy at the NFL Network, Michael Fabiano, but he's with us during the football season, that we'll have Michael with us next week and we'll start doing our fantasy football content. Peter King, of course, is part of our stable of regular guests. And Peter is traveling so much during the month of August that we'll end up having Peter probably the start of the regular season. And maybe a couple times before that, but he is just on the go going from training camp to training camp. But he's a part of what we do. Jake Plummer will be back with us for another season. Always good to catch up with Jake. Jake will be on board. And I just talked to him this last week. He's up in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and we'll get Jake on board. Bill is supposed to be with us to talk about Star Trek, Lights Out, Cafe Society. He is supposed to be with us to talk about J.J. Abrams, all things Bill Goodykuntz. And what I want to know from Bill, because I think we're getting him here right now, what I want to know from Bill is about crazy Ted Cruz last night. I was watching the convention, and the drama, and when I say drama, I don't mean like drama. Like, can these guys even figure it out? Can these guys even figure it out? So we have Bill. Why don't we give Bill his proper opening, Jared? Just go ahead and give Bill his opening. Even do the curtains and the whole 10 yards. Why not? There you go. It's much better. So here's Bill Goodykuntz, chief film critic for Gannett AZ Central. He's talking about Crazy Ted Cruz. So, Crazy...
No. It's Lion Ted Cruz.
Lion Ted Cruz. Before we get to the movies, and there's nothing going on in sports that do you see anything that's interesting in sports right now?
Me? No.
Yeah, me either.
This time, I mean, baseball, other than, where they're talking.
No, other than Aaron Rodgers' brother is on The Bachelorette. That's the most interesting thing to me this week in sports, which tells you everything you need to know, I think.
Exactly.
About sports. So Ted Cruz, I'm watching last night. Bill, is he just wanting to line himself up for the next go-around? Is that what he did last night? And it shows that the Republicans, one night it's a speech that's plagiarized, that they can't stomp down on that story. Last night's Ted Cruz, they can't stomp down on that story. It's like a circus. It's like a free-for-all going on there.
It really is. I'm writing about it tonight, actually. I do, one of my little side jobs is if the paper is I read about media and politics and stuff like that. So I'm really looking forward to tonight for Trump's speech. But I don't know how anything's going to top Cruz's speech. It wasn't just, I mean, there's been a lot of stuff. Yes, he's trying to line himself up because in 2012 and 2020, he will be the one person who can come to the Republicans and say, I did not drink the Trump Kool-Aid. I stood against him. Look what I did. I'm the only brave one here. You want to vote for these people who will kowtow to anybody? Go ahead. So, I mean, on that front, maybe that assumes that Trump loses now. Who knows? But it's funny because I happened to, I had to take one of my kids to like this early weightlifting thing this morning at like 6 o'clock. And I was switching around the channels and I heard the CNN radio feed, which is basically their TV feed.
Right.
And they were covering Cruz talking to the Texas delegates. And they were asking him questions. And I mean, they were pointed questions. And they were like, well, how could you do that? You pledged that you would da da da. And basically, Cruz confirmed everything that everybody thinks. He said, I'll tell you why, because I stopped that pledge when it became personal. When somebody attacks my wife and father, I don't know about you, but I don't really feel much loyalty to them anymore. And it was great. It was just like just high drama, you know. It's been fantastic. You know, Nelson Rockefeller in 1964 went after Barry Goldwater in sort of a similar way. But Goldwater was, despite his iconic status in Arizona, was not necessarily very progressive on civil rights, nor was his wing of the party.
Right.
And Rockefeller was more liberal, and he really attacked Goldwater at the convention and refused to endorse him. And from what I've been able to read, that seems to be the last time that something like this happened. I mean, Ronald Reagan kind of tried to get the nomination away from Gerald Ford in 76, but he came around. Yeah, it.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing on all this. Okay, Trump's. And I was listening to NPR this morning. And NPR's panel said that Trump's people have to approve the speech. Okay,
so they approved it 2 hours before.
They approved it two hours before, but they didn't knock it down. And that Trump, their response was Trump was already standing and fans were starting to chant for him. So they knew this was coming. And this wasn't a surprise last night, right?
This is true. It was not a surprise. Both the Republican National Committee and Trump himself saw the speech beforehand. And they had discussed whether he would, and he knew that he wasn't going to endorse him. And I don't know that I think what they thought and what they hoped was that it would play a little differently.
Yeah.
But what, of course, happened was the delegates started, say it. And then Trump, sort of pulls the rug out from under him at the very end and steps in. It was, in part, maybe it's inside baseball. Maybe it's.
No, you're wrong. It's not. This is not inside baseball. Bill, last night was probably the most interesting moment in our country this year. It's not LeBron James crying on a basketball trophy. No, I'm serious.
No, I agree.
Last night was something that just jumped out at me like nothing else this year.
My kids kept saying, what does endorse really mean? Why does he have to say those words? And I said, well, it's just kind of a formal backing of him. It's sort of politically important. And they're like, well, what does it matter if he says the words? And it's like, well, it's just, it's just a word, but it's a really important word in this context. and he didn't say it. And today, this morning, he just doubled down. He was like, yes, it was personal. Yes, I did it on purpose. it was everything that the pundits were saying. Like,
that's true. It's true. All right. So time is short here. I'm not going to get to all the movies. I do want to know, you and I spoke briefly last week about Star Trek and J.J. Abrams. Didn't get into it. My wife is just frothing at the mouth to go see this weekend. And she doesn't froth at the mouth with much of anything with me these days because we've been married for 28 years and have 4 kids. That said, am I gonna please her by taking her to Star Trek tonight or tomorrow?
You are. You're going to make her really happy.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. It's probably the most of any of them, certainly of this new batch, but the most of any of them that is more like the TV show. Basically, they get stranded on a planet and have to get off, which is the plot of every one of the TV shows. But they do it. They do it right. They do it well. And the cast is really growing into getting really comfortable with each other, and that's kind of cool. They seem the most familiar with each other here. It's sad in some ways. Anton Yelchin is in it actually quite a bit. Of course, he died a couple of months ago, I don't want to give away what it is, but there are two really nice tributes at the end of the movie, both to Leonard Nimoy and to Anton Yelchin. Yelchin's in particular is very simple and very moving. It's really well done.
Okay, so stick through the credits is what you're saying.
Yeah, actually, it's right at the end. You don't have. It's not like a Marvel movie. You don't have to like wait.
All right, I've got here on my notes. I've got here on my notes. Lights Out and Cafe Society. Either one of those, you got about a minute and a half.
Like them both. So I liked Lights Out a lot. It's a scary movie. It's based on a 2-minute short film, which is actually scarier. And the gist of that film is that when you turn off the lights and the shadow and the light and stuff, you can see somebody. And if you turn it back on, they're not there. And you turn it off, and they're still there. And you turn it back on, you turn it off, and they're closer. It's just like that sort of like basic nightmare that people have.
Oof.
And they make a 90-minute movie out of it. But it's quite good, and the horror is handled well, and the acting. And Cafe Society is Woody Allen's latest movie. I liked it because it reminded me of Radio Days, which is one of my favorites of his that I think is underrated. It's about 1930s Hollywood and, a guy who is basically supposed to be, Woody Allen. Although not really, because he's not that old, but he goes out to Hollywood and tries to make his way, and it's just a lot of fun. It's very nice, kind of funny. I will tell you, I just finished watching another movie that opens this week in some sort of limited fashion called Hillary's America, The Secret History of the Democratic Party. It's a sort of a documentary by this guy Dinesh D'Souza, who makes these really radical right wing films, and this thing is a piece of work.
Piece of work.
If you think that the Republican convention has been obsessed with Hillary Clinton and it's been pretty nasty and vile in the way that it's gone about it, this is the movie for you. If you feel like the convention has not gone far enough in pillaring Hillary Clinton, rush out and see this thing right away.
It's one of those. All right, I'll let you go off that. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks.
All righty.
It was Goodie at the Movies. Always good to catch up with Bill right out of a screening. Just like that. Good stuff there. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. We have plenty of content up on our website, sports360AZ.com, or Arizona-centric. So Arizona, it'll make you sick sometimes. We got some national stuff on there, too. High school, college, pro, makes no difference to us. We're all about storytelling, content. We are the Sprouts and Whole Foods in a world of Walmart, I like to say, which is sports and just media in general. We go a little bit higher. Got a great staff on board day in and day out. Appreciate all the hard work that they put in. Thanks for being with us.